guys, I was saying before, it's either three strikes and I'm out, or the third time's a charm. So it's you know, half empty or half full, however you want to call it, right? Hopefully it's
maybe foul tip.
But John, he told me yesterday he said he's a brand new in mind, and one will be, you know, he just, you know, they had service yesterday. I said, no, I don't mind at all. I said, hopefully your class doesn't mind. You know, I said, you might come back and just be me. You know?
Oh, mine's getting smaller and smaller.
Numbers already out there. Next
week. Yeah, so I told him he better rush back, you know, right up. Because, you know, it could be
dwindling. I had sent me up here to make sure there was at least one.
I know I'm not going to be here next week. I'm offended.
We ain't here next week either. The first week we talked about, you know, Peter and fear and courage, and the second week we talked about, you know, godly wisdom versus human wisdom, and this week I wanted to talk about love, and you know, there's. When I was thinking of this, I was thinking of just all the some secular songs, right? And you know, All You Need Is Love, I think, is that the Beatles, I think. you know, and then you know, What's Love Got to Do About It, you know, and The Greatest Love of All, Whitney Houston, I think, and It's Your Love, It Just Does Something to, you know, this and that. And these are just a bunch of secular, but
well, there is one, Love Stings.
I didn't think of that one, but you know, it just got me to thinking, you know, and that Tina Turner, what does love have to do about it? Well, to me, everything, right? God is love, you know, and I want to just get into the scriptures, if we could, this morning about love, and, you know, I think I really want to start out with the first chapter of the Be in Love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. That just kind of gives a prelude or kind of warmed up to what we're getting into.
What was it?
1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 through 13. If someone wants to read that, so that way it's not me being Ben Stein, you or anyone, you know, the monotone voice here.
If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag, and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have fully known. But now faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love.
Well, what's the greatest, right? Love.
Love.
So, you know, I really like this, Jimmy. Thank you, by the way, for reading that. But, you know, it was talking about in the very beginning about different gifts and talents and all these different things. If you have this, you have that. But if you don't have love, you have nothing, you know. And I thought, You know, obviously, I know you've read this chapter multiple times, and maybe you've even thought of that before. But, you know, when you think about it, if we don't have love, we truly have nothing, you know. And you know, I looked up several different scriptures, and I know maybe you guys get tired of flipping through the Bible, but I figure it gets back to my prayer, you know, less of me, more of God. Less of my words, more of God's words. You know, and I think there's no one else that can say and discuss love better than anyone than God's word. And so I apologize if you get tired of flipping through or whatever, but there's some verses I kind of put in three different categories. I had one category of love your neighbor. I had another category of love your God. I had another category of love one another, which I guess love one another could kind of go in with the love your neighbor. But I think, because I think again, it's the greatest of all is to love, you know, when we see that in the scripture, you know, love your God. Would someone mind reading Mark chapter 12, verse 30, and another person, Luke chapter 10, verse 27.
Got Mark 12:30.
Okay.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength.
Luke 10:27. Someone have that.
I got it. The answer, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your minds, and love your neighbor as yourself.
Okay. Someone want to do Matthew 22:36-38.
What was that one though? It was Luke what?
Oh, that was Luke 10, verse 27. Yeah.
36-38?
22:36.
Sorry, you just have to be patient with me. So I can, what was the next one?
Love is patient, right? So
thank you.
So I think if we're reading scriptures here, I have to be, right?
I like to flip back. Like sometimes when Tink preaches and he says something, I'm like, I'm trying to get there.
Why? Well,
yeah. Are you telling me to slow down?
No, I mean, maybe just take a breath. So I can see. Usually I need to repeat it 15 times. So what was the next one?
Yeah, that one too. But you and I just need to take drinks.
Right? Yeah, there you go.
And then some old crotchety person was like, why is he drinking all there? Yeah. Why is he gonna
have that?
All right.
That'd be water. Yeah, Matthew 22. Yeah, 22, verses 36 and 38.
Would you like for me to read that? Is everyone ready and prepared and on that appropriate page?
Hang on. Yes.
Hang on. Okay.
The key is repeating it.
Okay, here we go. We're getting ready to read. Teacher. Which is the
greatest? I'm here,
I'm just kidding. Okay, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment.
Thanks, Brother Dan. So that's the greatest and first commandment. Love your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. I wanted to go a couple places in the Old Testament as well. These three are in Deuteronomy, all three of them are. One is chapter 10, verse 12. The other one is chapter 13, verse 3. And the last one is Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. So Deuteronomy 10, 12, Deuteronomy 13, 3, and Deuteronomy 36.
all my Deuteronomy pages are really crisp and don't have any
mine are faded. Sure, it's not like I spend a lot of time there.
Does anyone want to help me with one of them? Or all three, if you want. It's only three verses.
What was it again?
Deuteronomy 10:12. Deuteronomy 13:3. Deuteronomy 36.
And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? He requires only that you fear the Lord your God and live in a way that pleases him, and love him and serve him with all your heart and soul.
Thanks, Steve.
What was the other one?
13:3. It's three chapters over.
You must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul.
Thanks, Dave. I'll read 36. It says, the Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. Does someone mind reading Joshua 22? Verse 5. And we're still on love your God. By the way, I'll let you know when we change over. Joshua 22, verse 5.
Only be very careful to observe the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. To love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cling to him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul.
Thanks, Brother Tim. So I wanted to start out with love your God first, because I think without loving God, in this world we're talking about, I've mentioned some secular songs and this or that. But without God, there isn't really love. There isn't true love, God's love. And I think that if we can't have that solid foundation of a love of God and love him with all our heart, our mind, our soul, it's going to be difficult to love others. You know what I'm saying? From there. So those are all the ones I have for love your God. I'm sure there's probably, if you look at how many times love is in the Bible, it's probably thousands of times or what have you. But I wanted to move over to love your neighbor. And this, if someone could go back into, someone was just in Matthew 22, weren't they? Matthew 22. Sorry. Okay. I'll tell you what, I've got three verses in Matthew, so we'll try to stay in that. I've got Matthew 22, 39 to 40.
Hey, Brad, just to answer your question. Mm-hmm. Love is said in the Bible 300 times, 310 times in the King James Version, 801 times in the New Living Translation.
King James uses charity instead of love half the time.
I'm just saying what Google says.
Oh, that's a lot. That's
he's just
a
lot. Got a fact check. What's that?
9 years, I know. Let's do it.
Well, I promise I have no more than maybe 15. So see, even though it's a lot, right? At least it's not 300. We'd be here for a couple of days, right? Three or four days. All right, so Matthew 22, 39 and 40. And someone get Matthew 5, 43 to 48. And then the last Matthew is Matthew 19, 19. So let me repeat that again. Matthew 22, 39 and 40. Matthew 5, 43 and 48. And Matthew 19, 19.
I got the second.
Okay.
Go ahead. I have the 19, 19 in the cooker.
All right, it doesn't matter what order. It really doesn't.
All right. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise in the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward will you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing out of the ordinary? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect.
Thanks, Julie. So we're not only to love our neighbors, we're to love our enemies as well. And I've got a verse in here where we were, I think it was in Romans, but where we were enemies of God. At one time, you know what I'm saying? I mean, when we didn't know him as a personal savior or what have you. But yet he still loved us. You know, type of thing. So who had Matthew 22:39-40?
And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments.
And then Brother Tink, you got 19:19.
Yes, sir. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
All right. Let's stay in the Gospels. Someone get Mark 12, verse 31. And then Luke 10. Verses
29-37. Mark 12:31. The second is equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these.
Thanks, Steve. First, love your God with all your heart, mind, soul. The second, love your neighbor as yourself. No other command is greater. Someone have Luke 10, verse 29-37.
Say 10:39?
No, 29.
Sorry.
So 29-37.
Luke 10?
Yes.
29-37?
Yes.
Wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? Jesus replied and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers. They stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, the Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. And he came to him, bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and he put them on his own beast, then brought him to an inn to take care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you. Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hand? He said, the one who showed mercy toward him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do the same.
So who is our neighbor?
Anybody.
Is it Dave's next door neighbor, right? The elderly couple or what have you? I mean, yes. But is it the guy that's beat up in a ditch that we walk by, right, or walk on the other side, but yet the Samaritan who, you know, they didn't mix, right? I mean, he shouldn't have been even seen, you know what I'm saying, with that, but yet he was the one that actually stopped, paid for him to go to the hotel.
The Samaritans were despised.
Yes, exactly, Jimmy. Yeah, exactly right.
But he showed compassion.
He showed compassion. He showed love. Yeah, yeah, compassion and love. You're exactly right. Would someone mind reading Romans 5, verse 10. And then also Romans 13, 8 through 10. Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 10. And then Romans 13, 8 through 10.
Romans 13. Do not owe anyone anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law, the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not covet. And whatever other commandment, all are summed up by this: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law.
Thanks, Jesus. So, you know, we all know the Ten Commandments, right? I think, correct me if I'm wrong on this, guys, because one is four and the other is six. And the four, I think, is for God, correct? And related to God. Yet six is related to your neighbor or other folks or whatever. The reason that Christ, you know, said that the greatest two commandments are love your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as itself, is that when you think about it with what Joy just read, if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're not gonna kill them, right? You're not gonna covet, you're not gonna commit adultery, you're not gonna do any of these sort of things or whatever. If you love your God with all your heart, mind, soul, you're not gonna have an idol, you know, you're not gonna, you know, worship some other false god or what have them. And I just, again, pointing that out. I mean, all of us in here, I think, knows that, but it doesn't hurt to kind of reiterate it at times. So, does someone mind going in Galatians 5:14?
I got it.
Show off.
For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Thanks. All right, I got two more here for neighbors. James 2:8. Here's the next one. James 2:8.
They get short at the end. They're hard to find.
If you, however, are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well.
Okay, so 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 to 21.
Joy, that's before 2 John.
What is it? I'm going to just turn to it all.
1 John chapter 4.
Uh-oh. What for what?
16 to 21.
Oh, and we have now come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. And this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, for we are as he is in this world. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he loved us first. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For the person who does not love his brother he has seen cannot love the God he has not seen. And we have this command from him: the one who loves God must also love his brother.
Oh, these are hitting home.
Literally.
I didn't mean for this, though, yeah. Leviticus 19:18.
Oh, gosh, right there.
Leviticus 19:18.
You shall not take vengeance or bear grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.
Thanks, Brother Tim. All right, I got a couple of love your enemies. Luke 6, and that's 27 and 28, just two verses. Luke 6, 27 and 28. Yes.
But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you.
Okay, and then Romans 5:10.
How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?
That's where it says, we were God's enemy, but yet we were saved through Christ. All right. I got another four verses, and that's on love one another. And that's John 13, 34 and 35.
13 or 14?
13. And it's 34 and 35. Just
there's
two verses.
What's the other ones?
1 Peter 1, and that's 22 and 23. And then 1 Peter 3, verse 8. To 1 John 3:11, and then 1 John 4:7-12.
I've got a baptism appointment.
Yay!
That's good.
Who's baptized today?
Faith Jameson.
Yay!
Cool.
All right, 1 Peter 8, now finally all of you should be like-minded and sympathetic. Love believers and be compassionate and humble.
That was 1 Peter 3, 8, correct? Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Did you mind reading 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23?
By obedience to the truth, having purified yourselves for sincere love of the brothers, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God.
Okay. And then could someone turn to 1 John? And I got chapter 3 and chapter 4. I got one verse in chapter 3, 3:11.
For this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another.
Okay, and then 1 John 4, 7 through 12.
Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but to love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us.
So I would argue with Whitney Houston, that is the greatest love of all.
I think Alan Jackson said that.
Huh?
Alan Jackson said that.
Alan Jackson?
I'm trying to play it on too.
Alan Jackson?
The world's up, turn us off.
Oh, okay. I got you.
The greatest is love. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
All right, someone read John 13, 34, and 35.
So I have given you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples.
And then my final verse, and being in the military, I know we all have read this, or like, I'm looking at Steve, sorry. We've read this probably multiple times, but John 15, 12 through 13. Of course, it's not, obviously this is dealing with Christ, and he's talking to his disciples at this point.
What is it now, John?
John 15, 12 and 13.
This is my commandment, love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in slaves. Try my
reading. Yeah, Christ calls us friends.
Yeah. And you read that in the military? Is that something?
Lay down your life for your friend in the military is what we're taught to do.
I just wasn't sure if that's something that they...
Well, not necessarily. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it, yeah.
I
mean,
I understand the concept, but I wasn't sure if it was something that they like...
No, I wish.
I was like, wow, that's kind
of... Yeah, no, it would be great. You know, they would... that wasn't something the drill sergeant necessarily walked around.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
not now, maybe years ago.
Yeah, it's gosh, it's changed. It really has over the years. I mean, I literally, and it's changed in a, what I'd say, a bad way. With you, I mean, it's not a good way. I will say though, when you're in situations, it is kind of, well, I shouldn't say the word funny, but more people are susceptible to prayer, to praying, to, you know what I'm saying? I think there's a saying, there's no atheists in a foxhole, you know. I remember we'd go out on missions and, you know, when you're doing training and stuff like that, and I'm talking about back in garrison, I would never see anyone, you know, say a prayer before training, you know what I'm saying, or something like that. But when we were going, you know, on missions outside the wire, so to speak, there wasn't very few people that wanted to back out of that circle to pray, you know what I'm saying, or whatever. And it was, I just
people thought, asking you to pray because they know.
Yes, yes, literally.
People, they always pray for me, man.
Yeah, definitely. But anyway, yeah, it was just, yeah, I wish it was more like that, certainly.
But that's cool to know that that's kind of the ultimate. You may not speak of it, but everyone is aware and wants to be a part of it in the moment, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's, and even as a Christian, I think we can all be guilty of when your life is going really well, and everything's going good. One, we're probably looking inwardly, going, hey, look what I'm doing. Look what it's, you know, this or that, instead of looking up, saying, look what he's doing, you know. We're getting ourselves the credit, the pat on the back. But then as soon as something goes bad, you know, and it could just be anything, right? I mean, it doesn't have to be a war. It could just be it could be a death in the family. It could be sickness. It could be, you know, that now we're wanting to look up. We're going, oh God, you know, please, you know, and it's the same thing out the battlefield, I think, you know, as well. You know, if things are going well and you're back in garrison and things are fine, you know, you don't need God. But when you're out there, you're going through a hard time, it's like, God, please help me, you know.
We had I was over in Iraq back in 2006. They went out on a mission to get, they heard that there was a high value target in this house. And a friend of mine, I talked to him right before they went on the mission. But they went into this house and it was a trap. information that we got was a setup. And they went in and they didn't know when they went in, but there was a skylight in this house, and terrorists were up there around the skylight. They had it set up as a fatal funnel. It's just an area where once you're in there, you're like trapped, and they can just sit there and just pour, like shooting out from the barrel. And an Iraqi policeman, Iraqi, where it was a joint mission with the Iraqis, and that Iraqi policeman was shot, and he went down, and Sergeant Muldoon stood in front of him, and he got shot and killed, saving that guy. So.
Yeah, that's the first greater love.
For somebody, I mean, we derided, and we were so derogatory towards the Iraqi police. They were just a mess. No discipline, you know, and I mean, like I said, we talked down, you know, about him and everything, but man, he...
You hear that, you hear, I know, I've heard folks, and I know you've heard this as well, I mean, back in Vietnam, jumping on a grenade themselves. There was a guy, Jimmy, the Charlie Fleet, or is it down in Petersburg or whatever,
yeah.
Here local. I think a grenade, it was told, was thrown in, and his whole platoon was there, and he jumps on it, and of course killed him, but he saved the lives of all the other, you know, folks. But anyway, the greatest love, I think our time is here, but I just want to point out, the greatest love is what Christ did for us on that cross, mm-hmm. and you know, saved us from our sins. And he asked us, the two greatest commandments is to love our God with our heart, our soul, and mind. And the second is to love our neighbor as ourselves. And just something I was thinking of and thought I would share this morning. So, you all have a good Sunday, the rest of Sunday. So. All right. Well, if you would just see you on close in the prayer.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all your many blessings. We thank you for the love that Christ showed us by dying on the cross. We thank you for the love that we show each other. Dear Lord, when we pray for each other, when we care for each other, when we do for those who, without any expectation of ever being repaid or what we can get out of it, dear Lord, that's love. And not just the love of something that we're expected or that we should do, but just doing it because of the gift itself. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that love, and we thank you for this day, and thank you for this time. Be with him. Be with this new believer, dear Lord, that we're getting ready for the church. And we just thank you for everything, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.